chapter 13, if you would. John chapter 13. You know, sometimes you're just glad that things work. There's a bottle of water here. It's been here for a couple of months. I've been using it. I don't know who put it back here, but the water doesn't go bad, does it? But here's the deal, okay? Sometimes you're just glad that things work. And sometimes you need them, you need them. Now, this summer, we're talking about love. And it's something we need, and we need it all the time, but we struggle with it. And I told you the story before, but I'm telling it again because it's so applicable to this topic and this time. The word love is like the word character. A number of other words that we use frequently, understand seldom, and can define almost never. Couples come into me for marriage and say, "We're going to get married." I said, "Well, that's wonderful. And why do you want to get married?" And because we're twittipated, because we're in love, and we're all shook up. I mean, that's what they don't say that exactly that, but they say we're in love, you know, and we're just got all this we're in love, and they're very expressive with it, and they're very confident about it. They're very expressive, they're very confident, they're very affirming of it. And but then when you ask them to define what love is, the stumbling act is amazing. It's like, well, I don't know, preacher. You know, we just love each other because we like, and they start describing it. And I'm thinking, well, that sounds like pizza. That sounds like dark chocolate. I can have all those feelings about a good dark chocolate cake with some dark chocolate icing, with some dark chocolate milk, with some dark chocolate ice cream. Let me tell you. That and diabetic coma, I can have a great time with it. I mean, I love it, you know? And that's true. Now, here's the problem. These guys over here, they're clueless. They are. You know why? Because most of them, cutting that past Jimmy, of course, he's... he is in love, but I hope he understands it. But anyhow, we won't go there, okay? All right, but the point is, they're clueless. Hey, here's the deal. Okay, how old are you? Yes, you, yes. 16. So in 10 years, he could be married and have a couple of kids. And he's clueless. And you say, well, you're picking on him. No, you're all clueless. I know most of you, all that I know are clueless. Okay, and that's true. But you know why? Because they're just, most of them are like the parents. Because most parents are clueless. Most church members are. It's true. You push them. Well, you know, love is just whatever. Well, okay. Well, we'll talk about that, okay? This, by the way, this study is not for the faint of heart. I told you, we're going to dive into the deep end of the pool. I was with one of the young people I'm mentoring. We met this week, and I met with both of the young people I'm mentoring. I met with one of them yesterday, and he was talking about going to the wilds and walking up this, getting this tower or whatever, then jumping off into the water. It sounded actually terrible, but I guess you go, when you jump off that high tower, you go pretty deep into the water. Well, what we're going to do this summer is we're going to dive in to the deep end of the pool and really try to understand what love is. Now, why is that? So that we can know if we're doing it. If we can know if things are right. Because what happens, it's like, you know, a couple of weeks ago when Karen was being moved from this hospital here to the hospital in Greenville, they were going the back way, whatever the back way is. It's like they have directions at the hospital that you can get to the Greenville Hospital in 2 hours and 6 minutes, as opposed to 2 hours and 37 minutes or 2 hours and 45 minutes or 2 hours and 55 minutes if you stop by Bojangles. But so I said, well, I want to go the 2 hours and five. I want to be there when she gets there. So I get behind this guy and I'm driving, and I don't know if they have to, like, follow the speed limit, or because they're that box with that sign on there, the lights weren't on, that they don't have to worry about the speed limit. But they didn't seem to be troubled by the speed limit at all. And so, but I was trying to stay with them, and my guess was that hopefully we'd both be okay in that case, because we were going to the hospital. So I'm going, I'm driving, and I'm focused and everything. And all of a sudden, what happens? The air goes like this, and it's everything's not blowing up, but it's overheating, and we're in no man's land. Now, here's the deal. The ambulance keeps on boogieing on down the road, and I'm left with my car in no man's land with it overheating, and I want to be there. Now, my point is, it was a terrible time for things to break down for me, okay? Now, you know what? It's a terrible time, once you get married, to then have to figure out what love is. It's a terrible thing to go from, now watch this, from friendship to friendship, and you can't keep any elongated friendships because you don't know what love is. It's hard, it's terrible, to spend a time in church for an elongated time and not love anybody in the church because you don't know how to love them. I mean, you come and you sit and you soak, maybe you sour, but you don't know how to love anybody. So what we're going to talk about is how to do that. Now, you have this really, like, detailed introduction to the study, and our hope is to get to that tonight. But you have to understand that whatever you get during the service has to be produced. It's not produced right before I get here. It's produced beforehand, as this was produced earlier today. Well, since then, I had some observations I think you really didn't know. So we're going to start with this, okay? We're going to start with starting observation. This is like a warm-up, okay? So I want to give this to you, and we'll just see how far we get with it. But so this is not on your outline anywhere, so you have to find a place to write this down if you want to write it down. If you want a coin, you better find a place to write it down, okay? All right, so I want to challenge you. There are some challenges I want you to see. First of all, take your Bibles and turn. You're in John chapter 13, okay? John 13. Now, you're there. Now find Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Because this is the first two I want to balance off of each other. Because there will be four observations here. Okay, they're all going to begin with C to help you maybe to remember at least some of them, okay? All right, here's the first one. I want to talk to you about the call. Now, we're called upon as believers to love. Now, look what the Bible says here in John chapter 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you. This is a new thing. That ye love one another. Now, if he had stopped there, they would be open for a debate. What do you mean? What is love? You know, well, I think love is when you do this. I think, and there's a book out called The Four Love Languages, and there's some validity to that. There is validity to the fact that people do express their love through different methods and so forth that's meaningful to them. But at the end of the day, we have to be very careful that we don't derive from that I can love you any way I want. Because look at the next phrase. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So this love, this is the call. I'm to love like Jesus loved me. Okay? Now look at the other parameter here. There are two main parameters to this command that we love one another. One is that I love as Jesus did. But second, that this love is visible. 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye love one another. So this love that we're commanded to do is not just divine in its qualification. I got to love like Jesus, but I have to love in a way that's seen. You ever hear people say, well, you know, I love you, I just don't say it. There's a Greek word for that. It's called baloney. Jesus said he loved you. Read the Bible. That's just not me. Well, I know. You know why it's not you? Now watch this. Watch this. Now, second, watch this. The conflict. You're right, it's not you. You know why it's not you? Look at Romans chapter 3. Here's the conflict with us when it comes to loving like Jesus loved. It says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With the tongues they have used deceit. The poison asp is under their lips. whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the ways of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, who are the people he's describing here? Who is the people, who is the person he's describing? He is the one you saw in the mirror this morning when you woke up. If you looked in the mirror, granted, the way some people look when they go out in public, you want to actually use a mirror. I understand that because of how they dress. But the fact is, if you look in the mirror this morning, you know that's the person he's talking about. That's called the sin nature. Now, here's the conflict. I'm called upon to love like Jesus. I'm called upon to demonstrate it publicly. But at the same time, my DNA, my natural default mode, is to do what I want to do. Now, isn't that true? I mean, if you've been married longer than 15 or 16 minutes, you know that's true. If you've had youngins that are past the stage where they're going to die if you don't do something for them, you know, and even sometimes during that stage, but after that stage, you love them, but man, can't they be a pain sometimes? Okay? Can't you just say, you know, why did I have this kid? You know? It's like, you know, the story, Johnny Carson, the comedian years have gone by, he told the story of his teenage son saying, you know, I didn't ask to be born. To which he replied, well, if you had asked, I would have said no. And, we all feel that conflict is there. Now, we can ignore that if we want to. We can come to church and say, oh, yes, I love. I love you. I love like Jesus loves you. You can say that, and that's what you should. But there is a conflict. What we tend to do is excuse those conflicts. Well, I'm like my father. You're like your mother. Case closed. This is a hopeless case. You know, it's really amazing to me when people say, well, we're getting divorced because of irreconcilable differences. Irreconcilability is the basis of marriage. Opposites do what? Attract. Why is that? Because you're designed to seek after somebody who will complete you. If your spouse is like you, one of you is not necessary. That's really. I mean, what's the point? I mean, but that's true in all of our relationships. You see, friendships are that way. I have some friends. They're really weird. They're nothing like me. In some respects. I mean, in some respects they are, but in some respects they're completely different. Because opposite. But there's a kind, it's built there, and it doesn't go away. Now, that's the reality. There is a call, there is a conflict. Now, I want to look at two more verses, okay? Then we'll actually get to the outline, okay? We'll get there this evening at some point. But turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, chapter 13. And then find 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So we'll go to those two. I just really felt impressed. And I've been working on studying this and thinking about this series for the longest time, which often happens for us, in that we're praying about the series before it starts and thinking about it and how we're going to approach it. And it's gone through a number of different, even the title of the study has gone through a couple of evolutions. We've tried different phrases to try to depict what we want to talk about. And we really feel like this is what God would have us to do this summer. The whole seeing as believing thing. Because love that is not seen is not real. It's not real. You say, well, no, I do love you. No. Now, you may have strong feelings. You may have a consciousness of the other person inwardly. But love that is not seen is not love. Love, by nature, has to be seen. And it has to be heard. That's how it's designed. Okay? Now, first one is the call, but here's the casualty, okay? Look, if you would, please, at 2 Samuel chapter 30. And the storyline here is you have Ammon and Tamar. Okay, now Ammon and Tamar, they're related. Okay, they both had the same father but different mothers, and they're the children of the king. And Ammon is twittipated beyond description. I mean, he is in love with this girl. Now, we'll see tonight, and then next week as we conclude this study we're starting tonight, this part of it, that love comes in a lot of different sizes and shapes and a lot of different kinds of DNA. The DNA of love is different. Now, we use the same term. We love our wives, we love our children, we love pizza, we love the Redskins. You know, really? Like it's all the same thing. But we know by our society that we all understand those terms as meaning different things. Now, in some languages, like the Greek language, they had different words to denote them, but we don't have that. So we use the word interchangeably in a host of different, and the context, to us, the word love is generic. Generic means this. A generic word is the context of it defines its meaning. For example, I had some meat for dinner last night. What did that mean? It could mean many different things. But if I specify what the meat is, we cooked some meat on the grill and the hamburger was good. Well, now I know what the meat is. Okay? Now, there is love here. And you'll know why in a few moments. Okay? So, he's twittipated and he's consumed with it. So he comes up with this facade, by thanks to his friend, that he shouldn't have come up with, to create an environment that wasn't healthy for him. He said, okay, tell her, ask the king if she could come to serve you and act like you're sick and all of that. So he does this charade he puts on. So she winds up in his quarters and he forces herself upon him. Okay? Okay, now watch this. Now summer's coming. Young people, listen to me. There's a reason why you young guys should not be in the house with young girls by yourself. Most pregnancies occur, the majority of pregnancies statistically occur in the home of the girl or the guy, teenage-wise. It's just not wise. But anyhow, that's what's happening here. There it is. And he forces himself upon her and rapes her. Now look at verse 15. Here's the casualty when this conflict, okay, arises and plays out. And Ammon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. That's, again, he's not loving her with Christ-like love. I understand that, okay? But whatever the love is he had for her was powerful. But the hatred was greater. Now watch this. When love is not properly calibrated, when it's not calibrated properly, not dealt with correctly, not defined biblically, not understood with clarity, what happens is we take it into our own minds and hearts and thoughts, and we get our definition of love from every place else other than the Word of God. And that's where we come up with the idea, well, it can't be wrong if it feels so good. That whole attitude, if it's love, then it, you know, love can't wait. Okay? And we get our definition of it from the, you know, we live in a culture that, by and large, in the younger generation, many of them get their news from the comedy shows, from the news comedy shows. You know, that a lot of people in their 20s and 30s, that's, and even older, but get their news. They comprehend what's going on in the world politically and at large, not based on the CBS Evening News or actually some kind of or public broadcasting or some kind of attempt to intellectually or analytically think things through. It's by this comedy show. And in the same fashion, most of these young people will define love when they enter into the realm of romance and marriage based on what they see on television. That's healthy, or the movies, or online. Now, we who have been married for a while, we look at that and think, you know, that's really, that's not healthy. But here's the deal. There are many Christians who've been Christians for a long time. And you know what? They don't love each other as they should in the church. They've been saved a long time. They're faithful. But they really, you know what? They can't get out of their chair. I'm not talking about physically. That may be the case, may not be the case. But it's not. I'm not talking about that part. They can't get out of their space and be bothered about calling people who don't show up or reaching out to somebody around them or moving to the chair in front of them to talk to them people. They can't be bothered with it. And heaven help the person who sits in their seat. Now, we can't afford that problem here because we have so many visitors throughout the year. If somebody sits in your seat, just suck it up. Don't. None of you have had come to complain to me about it, and you better not. Okay? I mean, that's like, you know, really? You want to go there with me? I don't think so. That would not be healthy. Okay? But the point is, let's forget that. The point is, we have the same problem they have. Because we get obsessed with our own lives. We get obsessed with our problems. And so, you know, how do we respond? Somebody comes to us with a problem and share their burden. You know, this happened and I got this burden. And as soon as they stop talking, what do? You come back with what's going on in your life. Or you try to one-up them. You just can't keep your mouth shut, can you? And listen to them and just love on them as you should. You see, that's the challenge we face as adults. So I don't want to make this all about, this whole sermon is about trying to teach the kids how to love so they don't get messed up and will be ready for marriage. That's only part of it. Because what happens is there are many friendships among believers, many ministry opportunities among believers at a loss because they simply won't love as they should. And then finally, let me give you this one as an introductory thought. One more time. There you go. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You need to understand where real love ends up at. All real love, biblically speaking, ends up at chapter 12, 2 Corinthians, verse 15. And Paul says, I will verily, gladly spend and be spent for you. But the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. At the end of the day, no matter what DNA our love has, no matter what avenue and arena that love is expressed, if I'm loving like Jesus, if I'm loving my wife or husband like Jesus loved me, and I'm loving my children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren as Jesus loves me, if I'm loving my neighbor as Jesus loves me, if I'm loving my work associate at work like Jesus loved me, if I'm loving my enemy, the person who's trying to hurt me, like Jesus loved me, if I love all those people, they're all going to be different. It's not the same kind of love. We just have to accept that. There is a difference. There are differences in those arenas of love. But behind all of that, in order for me to love properly and to complete the circuit, I have to be able to love without having to get back something to feed my love. My love has got to be self-sustaining. Now watch this. The relationship... Now watch this. You might want to write this down. A relationship cannot be self-sustaining. But love has to be self-sustaining. A relationship cannot be self-sustaining. Okay? The wife comes in, and the husband decides to come in when he wants, to leave when he wants, to be with whoever he wants to be with. He's actually treating her like just a spare tire kind of thing. She can't have a relationship with him. Now, she can love him, but you can't have a relationship with somebody who's not reciprocating. I can love my enemies, but my enemies who walked away from me, I can't have a relationship with them. But my love has got to be sustainable by itself. Yes, I can't have a relationship with somebody who decides to walk away from me. I can't have a relationship with somebody who chooses to ignore me. I can't have a relationship with somebody who doesn't want to be around me. That's true. But I should be able to love. My love I have for them is still sustainable. That's how, when the Bible says, love your enemies, that's what that means. It's part of what that means. I've got to be able to love you no matter what. And if we have a relationship, it depends on a lot of different things. Okay? So I want you to get these for the call, the conflict, the consequence, or the casualties and the completion, just to get your mind thinking that direction. Also to challenge you that when we go through this, as we go through this study, to look at it in its complex fashion. Now watch this. It's like anything else. You have to, I would take a poll, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I don't know how many of you guys actually read directions. But I know a lot of guys, particularly my wife's first husband, who does not really like to read directions. I don't like to read long notes. Sometimes people will be downstairs and they'll write like an essay. They're with us maybe a week of counseling, and they're writing an essay. And I will read it eventually most of the time. But I said, Ken, would you please read this and just give me what they're saying? Because it really is too many words for me. Okay? It's just too many. Just say what you're going to say, and let's move on.org, you know? I'm just saying, not always. I'm counseling, I'm fine with talking with somebody. I'll talk all day long. But if you're going to write me a note, if you get too long, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to skim over it. Now, I could lie to you. I'm not going to, you know? Telling you the truth this time. I've been telling you the truth the whole time I've been preaching to you. But I'm just telling you. But the point is, you've just got to make sure, okay, that we understand. We may not like to read directions, but we have to understand the details for this study to work in our hearts this summer. And I want it to. I realize some of you will be traveling this summer. You'll be going here and going there. And then we'll be here every week. Some of you are only visiting here tonight, and you say, well, this would be interesting study. Well, if you want to, you can go online and do the podcasting thing or whatever if you want to. But the point is, we need to understand it, okay? Now, with that said, look at your outline as a way of introduction, okay? Look at your outline. What I want to give you just briefly here in the few minutes we have left is some parameters that we need to start with. We'll try to get to section one if we can, okay? And here's what it is, a study outline. This is what we're going to be talking about, okay? First of all, we're going to try to see the diversity of love, okay? We're going to study the diversity of love. We're going to study, see the God of love. We're going to talk about that during our study. This will be the sections of the study this summer. Has been broken down into six sections. The diversity, the God of love, the enemy of love. That'll be an interesting part of our study. Then the value of love, the display of love, and then the attitude of love. Now, the last three of these will actually come from 1 Corinthians 13. The first three will not, okay? But I want you to understand that we're going to try to put the pieces together so we can love like we ought to. And love with confidence and conviction, and be what God would have us to be. Now, with that said, I want to give you two working definitions, okay? I want to give you two working, and we're going to touch on these, then we're going to land the plane. Working definition number one, I want to give you the working definition of seeing. The theme here is love, seeing is believing, okay? Now, what do we mean when we talk about seeing, okay? Now, watch this. It means understanding the truth about love within yourself, demonstrating it within your life, and discerning it within the lives of others. And this is important. When I say seeing is believing, what we mean this summer is this. I want to get to the place where I can understand if I'm loving like I should. I can see it in myself. What's the song? It's not my brother, nor it's my sister, but it's who? It's me, O Lord, sitting in need of what? Prayer. This study this summer is not designed for you to go home, ladies, and beat your husband up over with it. Did you get that? or vice versa. Okay? It's enough if you just work on yourself. It'll be a full-time job this summer. But I want to understand in myself, am I actually loving like I should? And then am I demonstrating it? Am I demonstrating it? Is it being seen? Or am I just thinking because it's inside of me, they just know it? How many guys and gals in marriages have spent years of misery and loneliness wondering if the other person really loved them? And they say, of course I've loved you. I stuck around, didn't I? That's not enough. I haven't left. I'm paying the bills. It's not enough. But this last part, and discerning it within the lives of others. How many lives of young ladies, maybe not so young anymore, whose lives have been irreversibly altered because some guy said, I love you. I love you. I love you. So, you don't need to be married because I love you. I'm going to stick around because I love you. And they suffer for years. And their children suffer for years. And their grandchildren. And their great. It just goes on. Because the young lady can't discern it in the other person. It happens in a church. Person comes to church, they act holier than thou, they act real pious, they have Bible knowledge, they're theologically astute, they are articulate in what they believe, but there's no love there. And you people aren't discerning. They get sucked in. And those people do tremendous damage in churches. They become very prominent and then become very destructive. In other words, seeing is wising up to really what love is. And then believing, working definition here, the act of valuing, accepting, and nurturing. Okay? The just expression of righteous love and rejecting the counterfeit expressions within myself or others. That's all involved in the meaning when I say seeing, we say seeing and believing. Believing means it's not passive. It's active. I believe this. I'm gonna nurture, I'm gonna value and accept and nurture the expression of righteous love. Now if it's unrighteous love, I'm not gonna nurture it. Be it in other people or be it in myself. You've got to be careful. You don't believe everything. Just because somebody says they love you, then doesn't mean they do. It has to match up with what the Scripture says. And we as a church can't brag and boast that we love our community and love others if it's not seen in what we do. I'm sorry, you just can't say, I love people in the church, and you're the last one in, the first one out, don't want to be bothered by anybody, thank you very much. I have no problems in my own life. I don't care about anybody else. It's because you don't love. Just that's not how it's done. You say, well, you know, I just... And this way, and I told you this before, some of you, you know, you, may I say this with a smile? I mean, you've never had anybody at your house. Really? You've never had anybody at your house? Never? Opened your house up to anybody? You can't even break out of inviting the same person to lunch on Sunday. I'm not being critical, I'm just saying you got to be careful. we can get into a rut. Can we not? We can. If you go out every Sunday with the same people, I'm not saying that's wrong. What I'm saying is this. I am saying it is wrong if we as believers in a local assembly get fixated on one or two or three people, thank you very much, and have no time or concern for anybody else. That's wrong. And hiding behind your age or your condition for not caring is not legitimate. You may not be able to do everything you used to do. I was speaking at Colony Ridge Monday. And usually I preach there on Monday when I preach what I preached here on Sunday. So what did I preach on Sunday morning? I would ask you to respond, but I'd be afraid you wouldn't remember and it would make me feel really bad. Okay, I'm going to tell you what I preached on Sunday. I preached on suffering. So here I am at Colony Ridge, I thought about this. You know, when I bring up suffering, they're going to say, really? You're going to talk about suffering here? That's like being, talking about restrictions in prison. Really, suffering? This is the old folks home. I'm the retired, whatever you call it. What's it called? Not old folks home. Nursing home. It's called nursing home, I think. Is it called a nursing home? Okay, it's called Colony Ridge right now. Of course, that might change six minutes from now. But the point is, they're all suffering. You don't get a residency card there unless you're suffering. Now, there are a couple of, there's one guy that's there that could live on his own, but his wife has to be there, so he's checked in. I thought that, when I see that, I'm just impressed. He's my hero, one of my heroes. I think, God, that's a good man. Anyhow, but they're suffering. They are suffering. But they need to face what the Bible says about suffering. And one of the things I told them was, everybody, they get older, their body changes. You say, I'm preaching to the choir. Of course I was. They all knew that. But when I said to them, if it doesn't hurt, if you live long enough, you get to the point, if it doesn't hurt, it doesn't work. Many of them laughed or smiled or giggled or breathed, whatever. But the point is, they responded, okay? But the point is this, they know that. Now listen to me. You need to understand this in your life and in my life. You have your problems. I have my problems. You have your challenges. I have my challenges. We have our challenges as a church. But we have got to love people. We have got to be consumed with loving others like Jesus and not be obsessed with ourselves all the time. And not have an overinflated view of our own significance. And not sit back and wait for somebody to love us. That's the point. So, ready for an exciting summer? Okay, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be good. It's not going to be pleasant all summer. Say, well, it wasn't pleasant tonight, preacher. Well, maybe it'll get pleasant at some point. But it will be practical. So I'd like to make a point of being here every Wednesday night that you can, taking notes, listening, and let God speak to your heart. And we'll finish the rest of this outline next week. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for your goodness and your kindness to us. We pray you'll help us to love as we should. Help us to love you, to love others, as we reflect your love. Help us to understand all that this means in all the different areas of our relationships, so we can be honest with ourselves and with each other, and love as we should. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.